It's Brother Billy. I'm saying good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today as we get into his word in Isaiah chapter 1. While you find your place there, I'll warm up to you just a minute. Aaron Schuster singing a song right here says, "Come unto me." That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. It's come unto me. And so, you know, today you said, "Preacher, I don't know anything about the Lord. Never heard much about Jesus. Never been around the things of the gospel." Well, I hadn't either. Wasn't raised in church. Wasn't brought up in church. It was all Greek to me as a young man. And so we all have our life experiences, whatever those are. It just doesn't matter because Christ said, "Come to me." And so I cut my teeth on a poker table. My first job was in a beer joint. I was 12. I was in trouble in the fifth grade. My first time of trouble. And trouble seemed to find me, and I found it. And some of you feel just like that. But maybe you were never in trouble. And maybe you were brought up in church all your life. See, everybody's situation is different. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, "Come unto me." And so the call of God today is that you come. And so if you don't know him, you can know him. So quit making excuses about why you're where you are, how you are, and who you are. And understand who Jesus is. And he's made every person unique. We all have different DNA. We're all unique. We have no duplicates. They say, I don't know, but the experts say there's no person, no two people in America or in the world that has the same fingerprints. God made you an individual, but he calls you with an individual calling. Salvation is universal to all mankind. God saves red, yellow, black, and white, but it doesn't mean everybody gets saved because Jesus came. That's what some people think. Charles Finney dealt with the universalists back in the 1700s because they assume because Christ died, everybody gets in. That's not what the gospel teaches. Otherwise, Jesus would not say, and Isaiah would not say what he says and what we're going to read here. I'm prepping you for the gospel call, and the gospel call is for you to come. And I pray the Holy Ghost is going to personally confront you. That's what happened to me. On May the 3rd of 1987, the Spirit of God confronted me. Brother John Island preached the gospel message, and the Holy Ghost convicted me. That's what happened. And so it became a personal salvation. People said, "Preacher, I don't know what it means about a personal salvation. That has no meaning to me." Wait till God calls you. Then it'll be very meaningful because he, the Spirit of God, makes it very personal. And so it's universal in its call. It is to all mankind. But it takes a divine invitation from heaven before we can ever come. So we got the music down and we're going to Isaiah chapter 1. Look with me right here. Time will get away before we know it. I pray God's word is going to bless you. If you know somebody that needs to hear the gospel, I ask you to invite them. Turn them to the website, BillyWatsonGraceAndTruth.com. They can go there and download 25, 30 messages, listen to them on their phone. Everybody's got a phone in their pocket today. And, you know, we have access to the gospel. And so ask grandma, grandpa, ask them to click on, listen to the word of God. Get your cousins. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, we don't ever talk." Well, send them a message. Everybody's got social media, it seems. And so send them a message and get them the gospel of God. And so here, Isaiah said this. In Isaiah chapter 1, God said, I'm tired of religious order. This is what happens many times. People get religious. Jesus is not interested in religion. Matter of fact, I'm reading to you right here from the words of God in verse number 15, Isaiah chapter 1. When you spread forth your hands, God said, I will hide mine eyes from you. God is not in the game playing business, church. He is interested in souls. He's not interested in vain worship. And he said these vain oblations, he talked about those. When you make many prayers, God said, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Watch now. Wash you. What you going to wash yourself in? It's not baptismal water. That does no good. I tried that. I was baptized at the age of 8. I used to love to go to Silver Hill Baptist Church. I still remember a little old spanker boy sitting there on the first or second row. And old brother Mac Mullins was preaching God's word. And you know my favorite song back then, I remember. Don't tell me. People said, preacher, I don't know anything about religion. Yes, you do. Some of you, your grandma took you to church, your mama, your daddy, your neighbor picked you up. My neighbor picked me up. And I told you about him before. And I'd sit there and I still remember my favorite hymn. And 475 in the Broadman hymnal was Victory in Jesus. Oh, I love that song. Had a little pep to it. In a Baptist church, that's about as fast as it was going to get. And so here, I remember those things. God said, all of these things are good, but they're not salvation if the work is not done on the inside. Salvation's within. Jesus in you. It's what Paul preached. Christ Jesus. Where? Not on a cross. He ain't on a cross anymore. No, you're not out about doing good work, feeding the hungry. He's not doing that anymore. He's on the throne. Christ Jesus in you. Christ in us. Christ on the throne. This is what salvation is, acknowledging where Jesus is and who he is now. He said, come, let us reason together. He said, look now in verse number 18, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said, your sins are very obvious. They're red like crimson. And though they're red like crimson, he said, they shall be white as snow. They shall be as wool. What is that? That is the cleansing of the Spirit of God. When Jesus comes in a sinner, he cleanses that sinner of every sin he's ever committed. I was in the prison preaching the other night, me and some other brothers having a grand old time sharing God's word to, I don't know how many men, 50, 60, 70 men in the work camp there. And thank God for prison ministry. We love it. We love to get in there and get the word out. I'm going to tell you, everybody's in prison don't belong there. And everybody belongs there ain't in prison. And so that's just the way it is. We all have sinful hearts. We all have uncleanness. Lots of us done things deserving of prison, never been indicted. And so here, what do we find? Those men in there love God and love to worship and love with the Savior. Got to pray with a 20-year-old young man, wanted to be saved. The Holy Ghost pricked his heart. God dealt with him, called him by his marvelous grace. I wouldn't trade that for 1,000 Cadillacs and 3 pickup trucks. I tell you, God saving sinners is the most glorious thing. And if you're not excited about what God does in the life of a sinner, then I would check the temperature of my spiritual heart and see, have I wandered too far from the gospel way? Jesus wants to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. He said, I'm the chiefest sinner. And Christ came to save even me. And so we're going to see some people in just a minute that we're going to say and all be in agreement, yes, they need to be saved. But you know what? I looked in the mirror one day. You know what the Holy Ghost said? You need to be saved. And I sat on a pew and heard the gospel. And I've pastored for so many years and watched so many people come and the Spirit of God break their heart. Boy, that's a precious thing. When a sinner is just totally confronted by Christ and they can't get a hold of themselves, the Spirit of God. I know that feeling from experience, and that's a glorious thing when God calls a sinner. And so let's get away from church membership. That's not going to do it, people. Baptism's not going to do it. Preacher friend, quit encouraging people to get baptized that's not saved. I promise you, encourage them to be baptized. When they get saved, they'll want to be baptized. And so I remember somebody trying to run me down. You know, you need to be baptized. And I didn't want to be baptized. You know why? Because I knew in my heart I wasn't saved. But when I got saved, bless God, I was looking the preacher up. Said, preacher, I want to be baptized. I want to be right where God wants me to be. And that's what saved people do. If a newborn baby cries for milk and cries for its mother, then a newborn Christian is going to cry for the Word of God and cry for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he birthed us. We're born again and we're saved and washed in that rich red blood. All right, so here, back to Isaiah. Isaiah is 700 years before Christ. He's way before Jesus ever got here. And so he is preaching God's word, and he said, come now. Oh, it's all divinely inspired. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Only Christ can take the heart of a sinner and wash it and make it white as snow. So see it now, last verse. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 19. If you be willing and obedient. Now this is no different from Isaiah's day to our day. You know why men go to hell? It ain't because God wants them to. Men, women, boys, and girls go to hell because they reject. And I'm not confusing this with children that are not old enough to understand. We know better than that. I'm talking about young men, young women, older men, older women that reject their conscience of their sin. Catholics say it's the age of 12. I don't go along with that. I do think it's somewhere in that vicinity, but it's not an age. It is a consciousness. It's when God makes us sin conscious. It's when the Holy Ghost says something. Some people are never sin conscious because they don't have the right mind. They have disabilities. They have whatever it is in their life that they don't know. They don't understand. They don't have sin consciousness. Those people are not going to hell. Those people God will secure in his love. Those people, God understands who the call of God comes to and who the call of God never comes to, that never registers with them. And so we get this, we understand. It's not an age in particular, it's a call. And so when the call of God comes, you know what we're required to do? We're required to come. And so if you, watch now, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. God wants to give us good things, church. He has sent a friend. God wants to give you good things. He has sent his son through the womb of a virgin. Imagine this, a virgin birth. How in the name of heaven does a lady who's never known a man have a child only by the Holy Ghost? And so God does this, and God raises his son like unto us. Likened to sinful man. Jesus knew what it was to fall on the rocks and scratch his knee. Jesus knew what it was to come back from school and maybe, you know, didn't have a good day there. Somebody took his lunchbox. Jesus knew what it was to be a teenager, an adolescent, to go through the things we all go through. He has suffered. He has endured all things for our sake. And so he has come in the form of the flesh. And he knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our inabilities. He knows where we fail. He knows what tries us. People said, preacher, if Jesus just knew what tried me and where my tripping point was. He knows your tripping point. He's been there. Thank God he's lived there. He's walked there. And he went to a cross. And he shed his life's blood. And they pierced his side. And they put him in a cold tomb. And on the third day, hallelujah to God, God raised his only begotten son. And he ascended after 40 days. He ascended back to the Father. And those disciples that we preach about and read behind, they watched him go up. And here we see it. Jesus knows where we are. And he said, if you just be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse, here it is, sinner friend. Said, preacher, I don't have to do the will of God. I don't have to. No, you don't have to do the will of God. But you have to account to God. If you refuse, you will give an account at the judgment. If you refuse, God has a plan for you. You'll be destroyed. You'll burn for eternity. You know, I used to think, I remember having conscious thoughts about hell and weighing out heaven and hell as a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy. And I thought, well, what would it be? Would I just go to hell and burn up? That may not be so bad. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Only, you know, who tells this stuff? But I'm telling you, I understand because I thought these thoughts, and I thought, well, is that all that bad? Because here we are, unsaved, unlearned, ignorant men, unconscious, and not knowing until we get into the Word of God and read verses like this in Isaiah 14:9, where he said, hell from beneath has moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And Jesus said this in Mark 9:44, 46, and 48, three times. See, I'd never read this. I thought maybe a man goes to hell and that's it. He burns up, that's it. And so kind of like getting too close to the fire out by the brush pile or something. No, sir. Jesus said three times, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. The fire is never quenched in hell. Men burn for eternity when they miss the gospel way. And that's why he said, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said it. God said it. So what did Jesus say? Oh, pardon me, Isaiah. He said, come. Go over to Mark chapter 5. Our time will get away here if we ain't careful. We're halfway done. Watch this. Mark chapter 5. See it now. There's a man I love to preach about. His name we do not know. But this man had a call of God on his life, and he understood what it was to be demon-possessed. He said, preacher, I'm in a bad way. Things ain't like I'd like to have them. I feel very unstable, or maybe you give your life to drugs, alcohol, burnt your mind up. You got serious things going on in your life, cirrhosis of the liver, burn your liver up. It's what chemicals do. I encourage you, don't put chemicals in your body outside of doctor prescription. And get free if you can. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. I told him, I called him by name. I said, man, I wish you could get free from that. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, I think you do. You know, when you begin to lose weight and uncontrollably lose weight and you got other things going on in your body and your teeth, you're losing your teeth and these kind of things, that's chemical abuse. And there's so much of that today, and I pray for those, and I thank God for those like Crossover and different places that reach out to help people. Well, I want to tell you, there's a man in Gadara right here in Mark chapter 5 is worse than any of those things. And we're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior. So maybe you've never messed with drugs or alcohol or any of those things. You're still a sinner in need of a Savior. You said, preacher, I ain't like the man in Gadara. You're still a sinner in need of a Savior. And in Mark chapter 5, Jesus went across the lake one night, and he come across, and he went over to the place called the Gadarenes. And so you can still find Gadara today if you look on the map of northern Israel, right there on the east side of the Sea of Decapolis or the Sea of Galilee. You can see Gadara. That's where Jesus went. He went across that rough lake. I assume it would be something like Lake Eufaula. And he went across that rough lake and he ministered to a man that the word said lived in the tombs. He lived in the graveyards. He had no home. He had no family. He had no one. Matter of fact, if they'd have had a jail, they'd have put him in it. But they had no jail. And you know what they done? They put him in chains and they bound him. They bound him with chains and fetters. And we see it right here. I get a little emotional thinking about this because I see men that are in spiritual prisons just like this. You know, though, some of those men we share with in the prison are spiritually free. Physically, they're bound. They're confined. They're incarcerated. But on the inside, they're free. I said something the other night that I believe God used. And this was the fact of, we have to get free in here, prison, before we get free out there. We have to get right with God. We have to break the chain that got us here. And we got to get free on the inside before we can get free on the outside. Or we should. And this man lived in the stones. And the word said this, if I can read it. Because the word said no man could bind him, no not with chains. Chains wouldn't hold this man bound. He'd bust the chains asunder. And the word said because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and they had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. I'm reading it straight from the King James Bible, Mark 5:4. You ought to get this. Look this up. And the word said, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Oh, he's like a wild animal, huh? We got that in America, don't we? Wild men go in our schools and shoot them up. Go in our hospitals and shoot them up. Go in our nursing homes, public places, libraries, shoot them up. We're in the shoot them up age. And so we've got to get a hold of. I'll tell you, the demon possession has taken over. People say, what possesses a person to do something like that? Demons. Demons. Let's call a spade a spade. Demon possession does that. That's what this man had in Gadara. He was bound up by sin. You said, preacher, I've never done that, so I must be better than him. No, if you're unsaved, you're not a bit better than him because you're unsaved. This man, outside of God saving him, was going to hell. Every person goes to hell is going to the same hell. And they're going because of the same reason. They rejected the call of God. But watch this. This man here, he heard the call of God. I've heard some people give him a name, but I'm not sure about the name. So we're just going to say this gentleman here. You said, preacher, you don't sound like a gentleman to me. Well, he's a gentleman when Jesus got done with him. Woo! I tell you, Jesus will make a gentleman out of you. He'll clean up your talk. He'll clean up your walk. He'll clean up how you act. He'll clean up what you're interested in. Jesus is that person that saves those people like me and you. And let me say something about this. Let's quit acting like Jesus saved us and he ran out of gas. No, no, no. He still saves sinners. He still reaches hearts. He still conquers people for his glory. Now watch this. See it. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. We got cutters in America today. You know what they do? They do what this man did. They cut themselves. I experienced that personally. I went through some of that as a teenager. And not because I had some spiritual problems, but I'm going to tell you, there's an affiliation with that. We don't have time to get into it. But cutters are real. Why? Because that's what demon forces lead young people to do. And this man, he cut himself day and night with stones. The word said he's cutting himself with rocks. Don't you know that felt bad? Bleeding, infection. He's so possessed of hell. And when Jesus saw him afar off, he ran and worshiped him. What led this man to fall down at the feet of Jesus? It could only be one thing. That's the call of God. That's the Holy Ghost alluring him. I don't understand what happened that night when the preacher preached and the Spirit of God called me, and I knew it was today. Today. And at what? 2 Corinthians 6:2, he said, today is the day of salvation. Paul said in Hebrews, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today is the day of salvation. And so here, Jesus said, pardon me, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know who that is? That's not the man. That's the demons in the man crying out. That's the demons in the man crying out. What have I to do with thee? And he said, what is thy name? And he answered, Legion. My name is Legion, for we are many. You know what was going on? Hell was corresponding with Christ through this man's body. He's possessed, remember. He's got demons on the inside. People said, preacher, don't say that. That scares me. Well, what do you think these people have are shooting up schools and libraries? What do you think these people have are going back and killing their parents and leaving them in the floor? What do you think's going on? And we want to pretend that demon possession isn't real, but it is real. And I'm going to tell you, outside of the gospel of God, America is no different than some third, fourth world country over there that's living and doing every heathenistic thing you can imagine. The gospel of God's what made this country great and what has made us who we are. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the staying force of America. And so watch the schools. The schools say we won't know Jesus. In comes demons. That's right. In comes demons. The school says we want no prayer. The school says we want no reading of the Word of God. I can tell you about two teachers in the 70s that read me the Word every day when I knew nothing about the Word. Miss Engstrom, Silver Hill Elementary, third grade. Oh, we was going to quote the 23rd Psalm. And when we said Shirley, goodness and mercy, the only thing I knew about Shirley was I had an aunt named Shirley. And I thought about her. I didn't know what that meant, is my point. You know how young'uns are. You don't know what things mean. But I tell you, I knew that was a praying teacher that loved us young'uns. And old Miss Clark, I know she's dead and gone. Loved God, loved us kids. Sweetest, blessedest woman. And you know, I'm telling you, we knew what it was to say the pledge, and we knew what it was to pray, and we knew what it was to quote the 23rd Psalm. Every day we showed up, bless God, that's what was going to do. And that's what makes us people that God can deal with, because why, those seeds are planted. And so now, we're so many years removed from that. You know, we've got better than that, but I'm going to tell you, demon-possessed young people are taking and shooting up our schools and killing our children. And we have those today that welcome God-haters in this land. And they're blowing up our buildings and destroying innocent people. Sitting on a balcony, killing 50 folks at a music concert. I tell you, God is not in that business. And so we've left him. Legion, who are you? What's your name? Legion, for we are many. And there was nine to the mountain, a great herd of swine. Those devils asked Jesus, said, can we go into those swine? And he said, yep, you can. You coming out of the man, I've saved him. Woo! When Jesus saves the sinner, demons have to go. And so he gave those demons liberty to go into the swine. And that whole herd of hogs, there ain't no other way to say it, that whole herd of swine ran off a cliff into the ocean or the lake and were choked. They were choked. And so it's what the demons want to do to you, sir. This is what I'm saying. Demons want to destroy you. Demons want to destroy your children. I'm going to tell you, if you got children that's going through some of these things, you need to get them to Christ. You need to get serious about your relationship with God and get them to Christ. Get them under the Word of God. And so here, watch now. So Jesus saved him. And watch what he said in verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. He wanted to go stay with the Lord, but the Lord said, no, you go home. You go home and tell your friends. I like this. Tell, I don't know how many friends he had. Woo, I didn't know how many friends I had either. You know, I was like, ooh, I don't know anybody to listen to this. So I went to getting the gospel out because I love Jesus. He just saved my heart. And I was unashamed of the gospel. And I pray you are too. But he said, go home and tell your friends what the Lord's done for thee and how he's had compassion on you and done great things for you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I love that part. Bless God. They said, I don't know what happened to him, but oh, something happened to him. Look at him. Look at him. He's not living out there and hollering in the graveyards all night acting crazy. He ain't acting demon-possessed. Ain't cutting himself with rocks no more. City council ain't trying to hem him up and put chains on him. I tell you, this man was such a ruckus, such a adversary to the community, but Jesus come by and saved his poor lost soul. He said, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Preacher, I wish I knew what Jesus wanted from me. He wants you to love him. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to walk after his word. Surrender your life. Surrender your children to him. Mom and Daddy, I want to encourage you to get down somewhere alone today. We'll take a walk out back or get in the prayer closet. Get somewhere and tell Jesus you want him to have his way in your children's life. You don't want to see your children destroyed. Quit giving them things that destroy them. Take them to the house of God and give them some stability in their life. And so you say, well, preacher, I ain't interested in the gospel. Okay, well, take your children to church. And maybe God will save them. If you're okay with going to hell, we can't stop you. But at least get your children under the word of God and let them hear the gospel way. Jesus has made provision that all mankind can be saved. He wants to save you. He longs to save you. He desires to save you. And we're going to pray right now that the Spirit of God will have his way and conquer your heart and life. Father, would you minister? Would you meet needs? Would you touch? Would you move? God, would you deal with the hearts of men everywhere? Would you speak? Lord, the brother is singing the song that says, come unto me. I pray that men will come. Men that resist the gospel. Paul talked about those that fight against themselves. Some of you today are fighting. This is what we're talking about. You're not interested in the gospel. You're fighting against that that's good for you. Fighting against your own selves. Jesus wants to conquer you. What did he say? He said, come to me. Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's what he wants, church. It's what he wants, sinner friends. He wants to have his way in your life. I pray today you'll surrender to Christ. Do it now for God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray it. Until we meet again, this is Brother Billy saying, may God richly bless you, is our prayer. For I am gentle.